Good morning, everyone. I'm going to tell you a story that is rooted in Vancouver, where I was raised and lived until we moved to North Saanich 2.5 years ago. But really, it could be a story from anywhere, set in downtown Victoria or right on this beautiful piece of land. It's a story mostly about women, in acknowledgement of International Women's Day, and to me, it's a classic Unitarian story. It's a story about the kinds of things that can happen when we take the time to tell one another the things that matter to us, when we gently and lovingly challenge one another, and when we find the terrain on which we share goals, we create commitments, and we move forward. For 3 years, I taught the children's programs at the Unitarian Church in Vancouver with my husband. And there's a much-loved and much-used opening activity for kids, and perhaps you've done it yourself. And it goes like this. Someone holds a ball of yarn, holds onto one end, tosses it out. Someone catches it, holds onto the string, looks at another person, and holds it again. And there we go. On and on until you've created a web of connections. And it's a strong mesh that you imagine could hold somebody up. And it's responsive, too. If you tug on one side or if someone pulls a string, everyone feels that. It's a potent and powerful image, and I ask you to hold that in your mind as I tell you the story of how a program called Growing Eden came to be. The story begins at a small half-acre urban farm that I'm a part of, right in the hustle and bustle of Vancouver at Cambie and 57th. If you go to Oak Ridge Mall and you just head down towards the river, you'll find it there. It's called Farmers on 57th. And I was leading a tour of the farm, and I was pointing out our lovely harvest box program and our wheelchair-accessible gardens and all the families in the area who come by bicycle each week and pick up their zero-mile vegetables. And one woman on the tour was a social worker who worked with refugees, and she looked at me and she asked a very simple and clear question. Well, that's good, it's fine, but what about the marginalized people in our community? What can you do, what do you do for folks who are refugees, for people who are low income? What about those people who are living in basement suites all over the city, who are largely invisible, who are often isolated, and who don't get access to all that beautiful, premium, local organic food? It was an honest and open question, and really, I received it as an invitation. In essence, she took out a big ball of yarn, and she threw it at me. The question stayed in my mind, and sometime later, it was probably even months, in a seemingly unconnected moment, the Vancouver minister, Stephen Epperson, opened up an email on his work computer. And it was from the Vancouver Foundation. And really, it was the kind of email that you would typically disregard as spam, too good to be true. And it said, "The estate of Robert and Anna Kerner would like to give the annual dividends of their investment to the tune of $10,000 every year to the Unitarian Church, from now on into the future." And their request was simply that the money be used for any one of the following purposes: to support young people of minority groups, to support refugees coming to Canada, to support humanistic, liberal, and educational causes. That was what they wished. So here I hold an image of Robert and Anna in my mind, and it's admittedly fictionalized, of a couple living here on the West Coast, committed to this humanistic ideal of helping one another, helping people integrate, and to honor the dignity of every person. And they wanted to support those ideals even after they're gone. And in my mind, perhaps they're sitting at the family table and they talk about how to best do this. And then they think of the Unitarians. And so we need to expand this ball of yarn analogy a little further back in time and space to our Unitarian community that's here in Canada, perhaps overseas. And together, we've woven a web, they've woven a web, that Robert and Anna noticed, and that they appreciated it. And so they threw a ball of yarn to those Vancouver Unitarians. So what next? At our farm, the social worker had provided the seed of a new idea. The Kerners had offered support. We brainstormed at the church. What about a productive garden-based program that was geared specifically for those people who were marginalized in our society? People who are refugees, immigrants, or low income, families in basement suites who likely long for connection to community, who would benefit from local organic food. And what if we all, mothers and children both, came together to grow food, to harvest it, to make meals together, and grow community? It's not a new idea by any means, but sometimes it's the old ones that are the best ones. So we had the idea, and now we needed a location. And a bit of research on the good old internet showed that a high proportion of low-income newcomers lived in southeast Vancouver, if you can imagine that, right, sort of close down by the river, close to Burnaby. And there's a big park there, it's called Bobolink, and in the middle of that park is a decommissioned road, an old road. And on that former road sits a building. It's a portable, and it's called the South Vancouver Family Place. And every day, they open their doors to welcome parents and children to their no-cost program. And the place is jam-packed, and it looks like a postcard from a United Nations gathering. The signs in their washroom are in 5 different languages. They have specific outreach to community members who are refugees and newcomers. And they've already woven a really beautiful web in the middle of that beautiful park. So what if we tossed a ball of yarn their way? And we didn't know them at all. We just sent out an email and asked, and they caught that ball of yarn with enthusiasm. And I just want to say, I love organizations willing to take a risk and say yes and stretch outside of their comfort zone. And so that year, we negotiated an ongoing lease to transform some more of that old decommissioned road into garden space. We built a big maze of connected wooden boxes, really deep ones, and we filled them all with soil that was donated from the city. Now, many of us in this room, so these are all photos from the program. Many of us in this room are gardeners, and many of us are community builders, and so a lot of us know the secret that there is something very magical that happens when you put the two things together and you build community in a garden. The secret is really that it is extremely easy to do it. Nature really does most of the work for you. Gardens connect us all to smells. They connect us to memories. They connect us to food and family and culture. And so naturally, gardens connect us to ourselves and to one another, which is pretty appealing if you are an isolated newcomer looking for a place to sink some roots. So it's no surprise, really, that in that very first year of programming, we had about 30 people coming each and every week. And the garden, it turned out, was enticing, even when it was just dirt and boxes. And there were, I remember, a particular rainy spring with little kids and moms, and we're all sort of wearing whatever we've got, and we're shoveling soil, and oh, thank goodness this is working. So many of the mothers had actually never gardened before, and most kids, under family pressure to conform to Canadian ideals, had never taken off their shoes outside. So we discovered ways to awaken gently to the wonders of nature, ways which were as powerful, I think, for the adults as they were for the three-year-olds. We went around the garden and collected different shades of green and compared the leaves to paint chips from Cloverdale. Or we, in, you know, marveling at the sheer number of greens that were in Mother Nature's palette. Children learned in the program that it was okay to pull kale or beans right off the stem and stuff them into their mouths. And mothers learned that a little bit of organic dirt or even an occasional bug could all be part of a healthy immune system. And we all collectively thrilled at the huge bulbs of garlic that we unearthed in July. It seemed that garlic was something that all cultures can appreciate. The garden has become a deeply special place for the mothers, as it has for the children, which I realized when one mother brought her one-week-old baby to the garden. As she said at the year-end feedback, "I actually gave birth just last Wednesday," and I said, "Yes, I won't miss garden club because tomorrow's Thursday." "It's like endorphins for me," she said. "That's why I was looking forward to garden club. I was willing to get out of hospital just to make it. I was wanting to know what crops were there or what grew. It keeps you guessing. What I love is the mystery. What grew this week, you know? There's that magic in it. There are many moments that I carry from that garden and that circle of community that we've collectively woven. And these memories sit right in my heart, beautiful images that are always outside, always in a garden. And I'll share just a couple short stories. A gracious and intelligent woman that I'll call Parveen, who raises her young son alone in downtown Vancouver. Parveen's work in the Afghani embassy made it far too dangerous for her to return to her homeland of Afghanistan. And so she lives in the refuge of Canada, far from her mom, her dad, and her family. Despite excellent English, Parveen experiences firsthand the sense of isolation and poverty that comes with being a single mom and a newcomer in a foreign city. We met in the garden, and we began to talk about home and of favorite family foods. Parveen told me about a beloved Afghani veggie that she can't find in any of the supermarkets here. It's a vegetable that perhaps doesn't even have an English name. It's a vegetable that she hadn't eaten since she'd left. Her mother would make it into a traditional dish, a kind of a stuffed pita. You could tell for Parveen that it was a symbol of home, a source of belonging, and now a source of longing. So she wrote home to her brother in Kabul. And here I hope that there are no agricultural inspectors in the audience when I say that a nice little envelope arrived in the mail, and it had a packet of seeds. And we opened the packet, and when we spilled them out, they were like leek seeds. It was amazing. It was this point of connection. And so all of a sudden now, I had an inkling of how we should grow it and what to expect when those seeds started to grow. A little bit of Afghanistan grown by the Salish Sea. So all that spring, Parveen tended to those Afghani leeks, and she'd cut them as she had seen farmers do back home. And she treated them quite differently than what we would typically do. So she'd cut them right down to the stubs every week to make them come back and grow thicker. And one day, those Afghani leeks were ready, and she very quietly disappeared into the kitchen and came out with her mother's dish. And she'd cut it up for us all to share in a piece. And it was a very small but such a significant moment that really held so many emotions. Later on that summer, we each painted flags, each of us writing one word, one wish for ourselves or for our shared garden. And Parveen wrote in the beautiful script of her homeland. And we stretched that flag high above those Afghani leeks. And that word was peace. What we create in that garden each week and each year is a web of connection. And we come together and we toss that ball of yarn. And not long ago, the ball of yarn wove its way right back into the Unitarian congregational community. Parveen came to visit the Vancouver church over several Sunday school sessions, and she spoke to the 9 to 12-year-olds. "Peace is like water," she said. "It's only when you don't have it that you realize how thirsty you are." And in response, the children's program wrote pen pal letters to a school in Afghanistan. And we sent the mail to Parveen's father, who would then drive the hour up to deliver our letters to a school. And we asked the principal what the school might need, thinking pencils or notebooks. And his response was, "We need clean water. We need a well for the community." And so the children at the Vancouver church fundraised with two plant sales and a couple of Sunday lunches. And we partnered with a Canadian nonprofit agency doing educational work in Afghanistan. And again, it was slightly outside their mandate, and they said yes. And so we raised the funds needed to drill a deep well and to bring clean water to not only those students at the school, but to the whole village. Parveen's father sent us photos on the day they celebrated its opening. And on that well, there's a plaque, which you can't see here, thanking us, a gift from our community to theirs. And so that ball of yarn that we toss from the social worker to an urban farmer, from Robert and Anna Kerner to the Unitarian Church of Vancouver, from one congregation to a small school in Afghanistan, That ball of yarn is real, and it has meaning when we teach the game to our five-year-olds. When we moved here, my rich circles of connection were cut down to a single thread, maybe two. It was new and exhilarating, and at times it was a very lonely transition. I'm used to having a lot of community. There was no web. It was only the present moment and potential. Where to start? And in that transition, I can tell you that I became sharply grateful for each new connection and the gifts that each connection brought into our lives. And I'm very happy to say that, really quite simply, we came here to this church community. And this congregation saw us and reached out to invite us in very meaningfully. And my husband, Morgan, has become a worship associate, and now I co-lead a small group for parents and guardians with Aaron. So I really thank you for that. And Lily Lentz saw us further and has invited me to speak here today. So thank you. So in closing, I'd like to bring us back to the Healing Our World project, which was started by this congregation 13 years ago. To me, it's another beautiful incarnation of that ball of yarn. We each walk through our daily lives, and we each of us see places where we can make a difference. And then we bring those connections here to this space. And then the How projects make a ball of support and of blessing that we throw out into the world. And so it is this morning. And with the connections of Christina Stevens and Lynn Bonner, we toss two more balls of yarn out into the world. And in my mind's eye, I can already see where they're going to go. So when we join hands in this room and sing together, let's celebrate the connections that we each bring to this community. And let's be conscious of the incredible potential that exists in each moment in this space. We each of us can serve as a spark to ignite something new. And every day I am truly thankful for this beloved and blessed community that makes sacred space to cultivate and to honor all of those connections. We need it in this world, don't we? Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you for the many gifts that you bring our world.